I was asking the Lord before I got up here. I said, Lord, what am I doing up here? Because he's worth it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, everything we do here, everything we've done since this morning, Lord, it's because you are worth it. Lord, the sacrifice you made for us, no one can repay. The least thing we could do is meet every Sunday and give you thanks. So, Lord, as we continue to glorify you with this message, Lord, get me out of the way. I want all of you and none of Alan. Please speak your word, which is more powerful than mine. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, before I want to do my message, I want to take a brief moment to thank some people here. Back in March, we had a car wash fundraiser. It was to pay for the youth group Disneyland trip. The goal, our main goal, was to raise some money to pay for some of the trip. God is good. You guys provided for the whole trip. If I were to tell you they had a fun day, it would be an understatement. You gave them an unforgettable memory that day. I don't have any words. All I can say is from the bottom of my heart, in behalf of the youth group, the leaders, the helpers, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your encouragement, for your prayers. I don't have any words. So I'm going to give you a clip, not a clip, but a few photos we've taken from that trip. Keith, go ahead. Boy, I didn't know I had that big of a forehead. It's taking up half of the screen. So let me give you some quotes. Alan, this is the best part of my life. Another kid said, I didn't know it was possible to have this much fun. This is where your money went. And folks, I got to be honest, I don't have a big bank account. I don't have a portfolio. This is my investment. And guess what? I get to take them to heaven with me. So thank you, kids. You can go up to your class. So thank you again. A proud moment before I miss. I don't want to miss this one. I had a proud moment that day. They were riding Indiana Jones. Yeah, I heard the story. At the tail end of the ride, it broke down. So it broke down for about 15 to 20 minutes. And instead of, you know, when I was spending time in Disneyland, I saw some kids swearing. I heard some kids swearing. That was normal for the world, right? Guess what they did in those moments of waiting? They sang songs for Jesus. They broke out the choir songs. So loud that everyone heard in that room. Made an impact on two strangers on that same ride. It was a father and a son. The father said, man, I wish my son would come to church. These are the future leaders of this church. Amen. And I'm just so proud of them. This is the reward God gives to those who are in His will, which ties to my message today. The rewards of obedience. It's kind of a sequel from my last message, Obedience 101. I wanted to do this because I don't want people to think that God is a God of just rules and a God of just do's and don'ts. He's not a God who has a big clipboard and just does, you know, Jeff, you did this wrong. Jessica, Brittany, you, what's wrong with you? But God is love. God wants to reward His children. It's one of the best things He wants for us. So we're going to look at a story in here in Luke 5, 1 to 11. We're going to look at that verse for today. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around Him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because You say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they cut such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Him. Here's the scenario. I want you to picture this, okay? Peter and his crew were done for the day and did not catch anything. Nothing out of the norm here. Another disappointing and exhausting night. They were cleaning up and washing their nets, which can sometimes take hours, and then just head home. Then here comes a huge crowd with Jesus leading them. Jesus wanted to borrow Peter's boat as a pulpit. So Peter hung out for a little while. And you got to remember, he was exhausted. They were exhausted. When Jesus was done preaching to the crowd, He turned to Peter saying, put out into deep water and let down the nets for catch. Verse 5 says, Master. I want you to put a little pin there. We're going to come back to that. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Let me pause here for a sec. What is going on when Peter said? What's going on in our mind? You know what, Jesus? Stick to preaching. I'm the fisherman here. You're the carpenter. I've been doing this for a long time, and if there's something I know very well, it's catching fish. You see, Lord, they sleep during the day, hence why we do it all night. And they're normally in the shallows, not in the deep. In other words, let me educate you, Lord. You know, we might not say these words out loud, but do we sometimes say them with our actions? Be careful before you say no. But think about it. Lord, I know what I'm doing here. Stand back. Let me do this. Watch me do it. Now let's continue reading and see what Peter said next. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because You say so, I will let down the nets. On your word, I will do it. Can I tell you something? This is exactly the obedience God wants from you, from me, from all of us. It is all He needs and wants to hear. It's not based on what you know, but based on who He is. The Lord doesn't want your understanding. He wants your trust. He's not teaching you knowledge. He's teaching you obedience. This is faith-driven obedience when you're ready to say, God, I have tried this thing before and failed terribly, but on your word, I will try it once more. I have done this before and I didn't like it, but at your word, let me do it once again. This is 100% pure and raw obedience. And what does God do in return for that kind of obedience? Buckle up. Get ready to be impressed, because God doesn't know how to reward cheap. He doesn't know how to reward mediocre, but will leave you mesmerized. Oh, let me tell you, we don't have the slightest clue, ladies and gentlemen. So today, the question we're going to try and answer is, what does the Lord do in return for our obedience to Him? Verse 6 to 11. This is where we're going to pull over and put it into park, because this is where we'll be spending most of our time today. We are going to break down these five verses and attempt to analyze it. My first point for today, God rewards. This scripture continues in verse 6 and 7. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Because of one simple obedience, they could not contain the blessing. It overflowed, overfilled, overran all their containers, and overcrowded both ships. It was too much, and it wasn't stopping, and their nets began to break. They couldn't handle it, so they yelled for help. Peter and his crew had never seen or heard anything like this before in their fishing career. Why? Because human efforts met with divine intervention that day. You know, one of God's favorite parts of being our Lord and Savior is rewarding His children. That's what we saw today. The Lord never goes in debt to anyone. F.B. Meyer said, Christ will be in no man's debt. If you lend Him your boat, He will return it filled with abundance. I love that. What that means is, if you give to God, and God will bless you. You loan Him your boat, He'll return it 10 times full. God will never be your debtor. If you surrender to God, if you follow the Lord and trust and obey, you will have a blessed and wonderful life. Not necessarily comfortable or easy, but blessed and wonderful. Deuteronomy 28:1-2 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. Look at this. All these blessings, not just one blessing, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So Alan, let me get this straight. If I obey God, does that mean my checking account will overflow? If I obey, I will be healed from all my health issues? If I do, I will get all the tangible wishes granted? Folks, as I've said before, He is Jesus, not a genie. He created you, so He knows very well what you need. He knows you inside and out more than you and I do. He knows that perhaps these things will turn you away from Him rather than get you closer. He doesn't want you to be dependent on the reward, but the rewarder. Yes, obedience will cost you. Your comfort, that's probably the number one enemy, your comfort. Convenience, maybe sometimes friends, your old life. But what do you gain? Peace, purpose, joy, fulfillment. These are all things money cannot buy. See, God does not always define reward the same way we do. When we think of God rewarding us for behaving well, we usually think of tangible, material goodies, or even dollar signs in our heads, right? Not so with the Lord. Look at the life of Mary. She obeyed God with no hesitation, even though she could have made so many excuses. In return, did she receive a penny? No, but she found her purpose. Paul obeyed God in every part of his life after meeting him. What did God reward him? Peace that surpassed all his understanding. Genesis 22:18 talks about Abraham, the father of all obedience. Abraham, through his sacrificial obedience, became the father of all nations. All nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Abraham found fulfillment. Is that something the world can offer or money can buy? No, you can only find that in Christ. Amen? God also has eternity in mind. The Bible is filled with many examples of people who obeyed the Lord at great cost to themselves. Scriptures, godly men and women often did not appear to reap any earthly rewards for their obedience. Yet many are listed in the Hall of Faith as people whose rewards are in heaven. Hebrews 11:39 40 summarizes it. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had promised. But look at this. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Did you know His better is always better than the best we can come up with? My second point, God reveals. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet, Jesus' knees, and said, go away from me, Lord. See that word, Lord? It's not master anymore. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Simon Peter was so mesmerized by what had taken place. He recognized that the fact that no one but the Creator of the universe could have ever commanded that school of fish to come into that net that way. I was just imagining that. When the Lord told the fish, go in the net, none of them said, Lord, you know what, we're taking a nap right now. Can you wait till later? No. Nemo and probably his friends said, guys, come on, get in the net. Get in the net. Oh, wait. The Lord said, break the net. Come on, we need more guys in here. Get in the net. They obeyed instantly. Why can't we do the same? Ironside's commentary says, in that moment, that he was in the presence not only of the greatest prophet that had ever risen in Israel, not only of the greatest teacher that had ever come to mankind, not only of the most remarkable miracle worker that the Jews had ever seen, he was in the presence of God. He fell down at his feet of Jesus, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. The presence of God has always the effect of making Peter realize his own unworthiness and sinfulness. We talked about that this morning. You have to remember that Peter, who had been with the Lord on a number of occasions, who had listened to his teaching, and seen his miracles, now apparently for the first time, recognized him as God manifest in the flesh. And the result was a complete breakdown on his own part. And he cried, "I am a sinful man." Peter is saying here, "I don't even deserve to be near you, let alone you talk to me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the man I am. Please leave. Go to somebody else that has their life together." Have you ever felt like Peter? That when you receive a blessing or a reward from God, you know it is only the Lord God who can work out that miracle. You feel like this reward or blessing is too much in return for the small obedience you gave him. Did you notice this too? God didn't send an angel or anyone else to give Peter his reward. God wanted to give it to him in person, up close and personal. At this point, all Peter could see is the blesser, more than the blessing now. And that, my friends, is how God intended it to be. My last point, God raises. Verse 10, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid, from now on you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." Now, I don't know if you notice here, but they left everything at the only moment they had plenty. Not really sure what happened to the abundance of fish they caught earlier. You know, they could have turned it in and made so much money that night, that day. Could have gone home and enjoyed their payday. Ah, this is nice. No. Instead, they wanted more of Christ. Simon Peter and his companions upgraded from fishers of fish to fishers of men. Jesus moved them from one level to another simply because they obeyed. The fish were just a glimpse of what Jesus can do. It was not the end of miracles, but just the beginning. Jesus had something bigger and better for them. Please do not misunderstand. I do not suppose that the Lord Jesus will say exactly those words to everybody here. He does not call everybody to give up their temporal employment and go forth in the ministry of the gospel, or to go out as missionaries to distant lands. But he does call everyone to be fully devoted to him. And if you're devoted to him, whatever your calling in life, wherever station you are, you will be able to glorify him. And though it may not be for you to do the work of an evangelist, though it may not be for you to go out as an apostle as Peter did, you will be able to influence others through your life. That's what these kids did. They sang songs. And it made somebody question. A life lived fully for God, which is the best testimony anyone can give to the saving grace of God. God called them not because they had the qualifications or the education. God called them because of their total submission. See, God calls for empty vessels, not people full of themselves. You know, you need patience and endurance to be a good fisherman. And those are the same traits we need when fishing for people. To persevere and not give up on them. So, what do we get back in return for obedience to God? One, God rewards more than you can imagine. Two, God reveals himself and shows how awesome he is. And third, God raises you to the next level in your relationship with him. My question for you today, is there something that's holding you back to the next level? Is there something holding you back from that huge reward? And folks, let me tell you, we're not working for that reward. We work because we love the Lord, right? Maybe it's just one simple obedience that's stopping you. Have you been faithful enough to God to be entrusted with even more of His glories in His kingdom? Let me close with this. Friend, again, if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior today, if you have not given God full control of your life, let me clarify something about His salvation. God's salvation is not a reward, but a gift. Totally different things. One cost us, and the other cost Him. It's not something you can earn by being good, so don't even try. Because no one is good, even in their best behavior. Not even me. None of salvation's benefits are a reward for our performance. Forgiveness and heaven are gifts granted to us only because of God's great love. The most unworthy criminal who cries out in repentance on his deathbed will receive the same pardon and eternity in heaven as the missionary martyred on the mission field. His gift of salvation is free. Free to anyone who wants it. And that's what Jesus is offering to you today. Would you take it? Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for you, for the gift of salvation, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. You did. You worked. You finished the work, Lord. You finished everything. All we have to do is accept it. Lord, you made it so easy, yet we try to complicate it. Please, Lord, if there's anyone here, anyone watching, please rethink about their life. May they give their life to you today. And Lord, we're so thankful that you love us, that you love giving rewards. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.